Welcome to another Hour of Truth here on the Eagle Radio Network from the Fishman Ministries. I have Philip Walthall with me, Scott Bishop with me, and James Usler, certainly least, and I mean last. Yes, James Usler's with us. So, gentlemen, James, you were, what was it that you wanted to look at in Romans 7?
Well, when Megan started talking in the Vermont service out of Romans 7 and about the night before with her children, and what she was saying is, you know, you don't get to eat your dessert unless you eat your meal first. And she had told the child that didn't finish their food that they could eat their strawberries. And it was dealing with pride and humility. And the child said no because it hadn't eaten all of its food. And what the point Megan was getting at is the child wanted to deserve the ability to eat the dessert. And if we look at it in the Lord, it's not about deserving or worthiness. We're never going to be deserving of His free gift.
Well, that's certainly true. But every child thinks they deserve it.
Absolutely.
I did. I still do.
And that's really works righteousness, right?
Yeah,
there.
It is. But it is. It's how we are.
And if you tie that to what you said, you know, about Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him to righteousness. That's where the righteousness is, which is in Jesus, His righteousness.
Yeah, that old man, that flesh is bound to unbelief. It's not going to be the thing you follow into instruction in the faith. Or, you know, further on in Romans, it says it's at enmity with God. I think it says that in chapter 8. In the flesh, it's impossible to please God. You got that going, and on the other side of that, in Hebrews 11, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You got to work the stuff out.
You know, the one of the scriptures that has came to mind this morning, and I didn't go to because I was talking about, we were talking about unbelief, discouragement, yep, and situation, and believing God through those situations and those times. And you said, so without faith is impossible to believe God. And one of the biggest battles we were talking about, I should use that flesh is the... The carnal mind is enemy against God.
Yeah, that's
and casting, you know, I looked up here this morning in 2 Corinthians, and it says, here, I'm going to read it. I had it up. Come on, baby. All right. I need to get my lock off. But it says, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of Christ. In the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And before we can actually bring every thought to the obedience of the knowledge of Christ, we first got to cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. And, you know, that carnal man exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ.
Sure.
I mean, it absolutely exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, the part where the kid was deserving.
And give false testimony.
Right. Where the kid was trying to want to be deserving before he got the other. And that was pride. That exalts itself against,
exactly,
the knowledge of Christ.
Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, the authority, in this case a mother, you know, Megan, just making a decision that, hey, you know, you can have your strawberries. That's a righteous decision and one that she's able to make. Now, the child recognizing, you know, the authorities, and I guess I say righteousness, in a sense, but his authority's authority in the matter.
The right standing.
The right standing. There you go. That's what I'm looking for. Should have received that gift with gratitude and blessing and humbleness, saying, wow, even though I didn't do that which I thought I had, you know, I can still receive that blessing.
Well, amen. And that's, I mean, you take the testimony of our lives. I made a mess of a situation. I did. Mm-hmm. I chose to not believe the word. I chose, and what I mean by I chose not to believe the word, I didn't act on believing the word at all. And I chose a different route and caused a mess of a situation. However, however, when I received and I came to the Lord repentant of those things, what I got was I received blessing from the Lord. And I believed Him for that blessing.
Amen.
And He gave it to me. Who was the judge? He was right or wrong in giving it to me. Some people might judge that as right or wrong giving it to me. But all He's looking for is you believe in Him. And sometimes it's not even you believe in Him. He just does it to show His nature and character, and that His gospel's true. And it's just, I mean, like the children of Israel. I mean, it wasn't like when He came to the children of Israel, when He first came to the children of Israel, it wasn't like He... it wasn't like that. He expected the children of Israel, oh, you know what? This is good news that Moses has for us. And of course, that's what they did at first. But then when things got hard, you know what? It was time. He showed His power over. He showed His character over and over and over again. And that should have built a relationship with them.
Should have strengthened them. In
right.
Their faith.
In their faith. But that's the thing where He's merciful, He's good, that's His nature. What Megan was sharing with them, look, eat the strawberries. Being good and merciful and gracious. Wouldn't have it. I wanted to wait till He became deserving. That's so much what the Lord has for us. I got good things. I want to have it. I'm not deserving of those things. That's one of those high things that you got to cast down. You got to cast down. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, I remember listening to Charlie and that light trying to shine through that paint where it break off and fall off and break down. And, man, it's when you're encoded in that, or surrounded by that blackness that's covering up that light, it's hard, man. I mean, that sin that so easily besets us, I was talking about.
Yeah.
And it's hard to, if you could sit there and believe the paint that you see. You can see, you can believe, sit there and believe the lie of that paint that you can see around that. Like, man, there's no hope. But that's a thing that you got to cast down. That's another high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ and cast down, because He has good things for you. And it's not about you being deserving to receive them. It never has been, it never will be, because you'll never be deserving to receive them. But He has it there for you, and believe in His word.
Trust in the one who was worthy.
And trust in the one that was worthy. And because of what He did, you can obtain that. Because of what He has done, you can obtain that.
That's the only way.
And that's the only way.
And nobody gets to the Father but by Jesus.
Amen. And that's... in any situation that we got with our carnal mind, with or whatever that happens, and we process that thing through our carnal mind way more often than we ought. At least I could speak way more often than I ought. And I see that situation. It looks hopeless with the carnal mind. It looks like there's not a way out, or I'm just, even my own depravity, my own garbage that is in front of me, that just... I'm hopeless. I'm done, Lord. I understood when Charlie said, well, I might as well just go cap myself. There's just no hope. I understood that. It's scary. Yeah.
And I did too. But you mentioned like garbage in front of you. I mean, it blocks your view of Jesus. And you let all that stuff pile up and just get in your way. You got to tear that stuff down, push it aside, cast it down. And
yeah, and it says to cast it down. It says casting down. That's it. That's a choice you make, mm-hmm. because you can see that, you can understand it with your carnal mind and receive from your carnal mind. But that's hell, death, and destruction. Or you can choose to cast that down. I'm not going to believe this lie. And Lord, I'm sorry for listening. Or Lord, I'm sorry. I've been in error and in presumption. And I'm sorry, Lord. But I know you're bigger than that. Now I want to get that right. But then that's when you can start holding every thought to the obedience of Christ. But you first got to cast those high things down. And it might be from one error to the other. Like you said, we're waiting to be discerning. That's self-righteous.
So counter to the natural, the old man, the flesh. It's so counter to what you consider the obedience of Christ. The obedience of Christ took him to the cross.
Right.
And that just countered our nature.
Once again, that's that carnal mind.
And it takes, we have to hold our thoughts captive, that because they're given their own head. They're going to go a million miles away from there as fast as they can.
Well, our carnal mind would think going to the cross was not victory, destruction, defeat.
Yeah.
But actually, him going to the cross was victory. Victorious.
Because he believed God.
Because he believed God. And see, it shows that we can believe God too. The same way. Those cloud of witnesses in 11 begin to believe God the same way.
Yeah.
And we can cast all those things down. But it's a choice. Sometimes it's just a hard choice. But once you make that choice, man,
so much of this whole process, all of, you know, sit here, you got this big picture. You're looking down all the scriptures, and it's really the training manual. It's a boot camp manual to deliver you to be able to do to fight for the kingdom. And the stuff I'm sitting here thinking to myself as I read some of the stuff. My impression of it now, I didn't mean to hit the boom. Sorry about that, Sue. What you see here, when she went to James chapter 1, James chapter 1 opens up, what do we got going on there? We've got an unpleasant situation. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into diverse temptations. The natural condition there is depression, embarrassment, failure. And you got James putting a positive spin on an absolutely horrible situation.
Right. All yes. Those things you mentioned are things that keep you separated from God.
Right.
Absolutely.
But in reality, and if you change your mind, if you change your perspective,
hand,
they
can
hand. Bring you closer.
He's at hand. And what James goes on to say is, the trying of your faith worketh patience. You learn to trust in God's word. You learn to trust in His provision for you. You learn to see His faithfulness and your total reliability on Him.
I remember a struggle that I was having, and I remember a struggle, and it was a big one, and it seemed hopeless, and I was discouraged. I was in sin, unbelief. I was discouraged, really was. I was reading in the Word. I seen that word, redemption. Redemption. And I just read that word redemption, and I looked at that, and all that, just by seeing that one word in Scripture, all that discouragement went away, and I was free from it. Absolutely free, because I knew God's redemption. Mm-hmm. I knew it. I know it. It's happened in my life. It's available. It's tangible. It's happened so many times. And when I saw that, the fear of that situation went away. Now, it wasn't resolved yet.
Sure.
It wasn't resolved yet, but it was tangible in the spirit. Something I could grab hold on. That's what you called that where it says it worketh patience.
Patience, that patience word is, and amongst other things, is an unswerving. Something, nothing can knock you off of this path and this course you're on to please the Lord. And how you get there is because you have experience of His faithfulness, of His reliability, of the truth of His Word, and what He has revealed to you, and what you have experienced has taught you that He's faithful, He is worthy, and you, when you know with full disclosure that you've turned your life over to Him, and nothing is going to knock you off that course. That's a long-winded explanation for a very simple
idea. Comes down, you can straight up count on Him.
Right.
And when you can resolve and you choose to cast all those things that says otherwise, and you can count on Him, and you can step out knowing that you can count on the Lord because He is faithful and He's shown you that He is faithful. And that's where we can move from the children of Israel. Well, they didn't count on Him. Even though they showed Him He was faithful, and they didn't count Him. That's where we can move from that children of Israel in the desert to the children of Israel that took Jericho. And start stepping into that new man and being a part of that perfect man and coming in line with that.
In every place where there's just, you know, critical information really revealed about, you know, Lord and His ways, specifically from Paul, but not necessarily, because that one in James is one of them. But that word patience is the same word it is in Romans 5. We glory in tribulation. Tribulation worketh
patience, experience, hope, and hope maketh not ashamed.
The same word, and the same meaning fits there as well. That's what the purpose of all that stuff is. It's what you have to go through to have you lose total confidence in the flesh, lose it.
That's good. Praise God. We need to lose that. And because if we're always constant about looking at the flesh that we can do a thing, or we can't. You both know, is a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ.
But
mine is usually,
every place where that word is used, there's some nugget of absolute necessary truth being revealed there. And it all comes back to relying on the truthfulness of what God says. Jesus says in 14, believe me, 14:11, believe me. That just got my attention so strongly today when I saw that. Mm-hmm. It jumped off the page at me.
And the other thing in the midst of that, where it says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, because, and I get excited at the word redemption, because what happens out of that? I mean, if you look at it's just another testimony of how good the Lord is. I mean, because if you sit back and you see somebody stall, fumble, make it, just absolutely fall down flat on your face where it could just absolutely ruin, but they turn and they look unto the Lord and see how the Lord redeemed that situation, it just makes it more known that it could be for them, that somebody that doesn't think they can receive that. It's just a testimony of how awesome the Lord is. I mean, and that's something, that's where
the second half.
What's that?
I was just going to say, I don't want to jump in. Finish your thought.
But how awesome is that?
Yeah.
Because what happens is that it brings the gospel to light when that happens. And the reason why that is because you can evidently see that, all right,
that person's fault, messed up, and absolutely made a wreck of his life, and it's upside down. Yet he turned to the Lord, and all this happened. And those that are self-righteous, well, he deserved that. Why didn't he stay in that place? Because the gift of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, or the other side around, that worked for him. And he messed up so bad. Does that mean I can attain it too? It shows it has nothing to do with that person, what he's able to do, what he's done. It all is about the gospel.
How the gospel, the
goodness of the Lord.
Look at who the people that are given as testimonies, witnesses, and their testimony is given in Hebrews 11. You got David, he's a murderer, an infidel.
We just read Samson not too long ago. I read Samson with the girls not too long ago. And in his death, he woke up and then went to go see the harlot. And he went, and he goes to this. The end of it, he's an idiot. Let the girl cut off his hair. But, out of all that whole situation, what I seen was redemption. Mm-hmm. But when he had too much stock in that hair of his, you need to have all that stock in Jesus.
Yeah,
and he got that stock back in Jesus at the end on his life's doom. And in his death, he just destroyed more Philistines than his whole life. He was judgment, and he was a deliverance to Israel like God promised. But it came down to him choosing to believe God. Didn't matter all the things that happened before. At that time, he chose to believe God.
You got the process. You got judgment. Found dead to rights, guilty. No excuse. There's just no excuse. Then you got the application of grace and mercy. That's the gospel working. That's the gospel unfolded in your life. That's you overcoming all the obstacles to believe. That's choosing not to receive the testimony of the flesh. Choosing not to receive the testimony of the enemy. And receiving the testimony of Jesus Christ. And the fact is, what he said about himself when he's charged with, you just sit down with the publicans and sinners to eat. What's the matter with you? What's the deal? And he says, I came for sinners, not for the righteous. That's good news for us. And, the first part of James is the application of that good news for us. Because we were sinners 10 years ago. We were sinners 20 years ago. Those of us who are 20. We're sinners now. The only difference is, do we trust in Jesus and his work being complete for our needs?
And when he's sitting at that dinner table, and it's good news for everybody, even the ones that think they're righteous, because it's not that they don't have a chance, it's just that what needs to be clear to them is that they're not. that needs to be notated. I mean, that needs to be brought to their attention, and then so they can see the error of their way, and it's still good news, because that's what the gospel is there.
The whole thing unfolding there was for them, that they might see.
That's right. And it's the power of the gospel moving in your life. That's when people see Jesus through you.
Yeah. There's a more complicated second part to the James chapter 1 where it's, it's good for you when you endure temptation. And, you don't sin, but it tends to pride, which becomes a sin. So just because you don't... You got to be on the alert here.
Yeah,
and it's better to have fallen and to count it all joy. You have something, James?
It doesn't make you any more worthy.
No.
No. Not one bit. And either way, you endure the temptation and you believe God, it's that you want Christ, you want his gospel being magnified.
Yeah.
That's the important thing. That's the only thing that matters. And it's something that anybody can reach and grab a hold of. Doesn't matter where they came from, no matter what they've done, it doesn't matter if you're Osama bin Laden, it doesn't matter if you were a murderous, rapist, any of that, it didn't matter. Gospel is something that anybody can grab a hold on to.
Anyone who will. He's at hand.
Yeah.
And yet, when you come to the revelation that the thief on the cross came to, man, we're guilty, but he's not. And yet, he's continued to hang there for us. In my place. And he didn't deny that thief paradise. To be with him in paradise. Doesn't get any better than that. Certainly, one of, if not the most undeserving of Lot, of the whole group that were gathered there that day, he deserved such. But when he realized that he deserved it, and Jesus didn't, that was life to him. That's how good our Lord is. That's how deserving He is of our commitment.
And in choosing to believe that, be the thing that choosing to believe that will be there will be a fruit of that. No matter what, did you fall, you believe, turn, believe them. That's the fruit of that. You see a situation that looks upside down, looks totally hopeless, but you choose to believe them in the midst of that. There's fruit of that. Opportunity for the gospel to be manifested in the power thereof. Are we choosing to believe that? You know, and that's, you were talking about that today, about, and I read it some, but Jesus, not to do my own will, but thine, Lord. To the sweating of blood. Striving against sin, believing Him and going to it? Are we choosing to believe Him? Like James talking about, are we choosing to believe Him so that others may see the gospel, grab hold of it? Are we just always listening to that carnal mind? Are we always just not listening to the Word? Are we always not counting, not joy when we follow? I mean, are we always in unbelief and in our own agenda and always understanding with our carnal mind? What is that going to do for anybody else? It's not going to magnify the Lord.
John 15. About abiding in the vine, and toward the end of that, you know, he's talked about that which is unfruitful being purged And the he says, without me, you can do nothing. Just like that branch has been cut off. That branch is, it's done. That branch gets cut off, it's done bearing fruit. It's done doing anything for the rest of the vine. Can't do it. Had the opportunity, didn't. Got cut off. Without Jesus, without that abiding in Jesus, you can't do anything that's going to please God. It's going to in make your station any better. Without Jesus Christ, it's not happening. Not happening. At least when you're abiding in Him, you have a chance now. You can choose to believe His word and to do His thing, do His agenda. And that gives you a hope of making it to the end. The same hope that Paul described.
And if you've been in that place where you haven't been believing Him, have not been grabbing hold of the gospel, not counting it joy when you fell into divers temptation. If you've been in that place, you don't have to stay there.
Not at all.
What's that?
Not at all.
No. Yeah. You don't have to stay there. Look, I mean, you can turn right now. You can choose to believe Him right now. And trust Him for the redemption. Let that power work in your life. Let that power work in your life. And choose to believe Him. You know, you would. We sing that song, "We'll magnify the Lord." That's going to magnify the Lord. You letting the power of the gospel work in your life by choosing to believe. It's you know, in Timothy, I tell you what, there's these. I think I was reading it, and it's talking about being a vessel of honor or to dishonor. And I'm way past. It.
That sounds like Roman.
No, it's in
is it?
Timothy. I thought I could be very much wrong, but I just swore I've been reading in there. I think it's in 2 Timothy. I'm looking it up right now.
Romans 9:21.
But this one is
you're talking about 2 Timothy 2:21.
Let me see. Yes, this is where I'm talking about. It says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, and it kind of goes up, well, you can go up a little bit further up. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You know, and I look at those vessels, and what those vessels of what dishonor could be simply the example of when children of Israel, like Jambres, yeah, who withstood Moses. That was a vessel of dishonor. Still showed the power of the Lord, but they fell on the judgment. Because they stood against the Lord. You see the children of Israel, the first generation. I would look at that and say that's a vessel of dishonor. Because that was one where they would not believe God. Would not do it. It still is an example of God's power. I mean, He's faithful. Those that fell by the way, that chose to not believe, when they turned to other gods, when the children of Israel turned to other gods. still showed the Lord's power was still known. But they were an example of a vessel of dishonor, an example of unbelief. I don't want to fall on the part of the example of the unbelief. I've been that before. Yeah, Phil turned away. I mean, things were going right for him, and he walked away from the ministry. He decided to do his own thing. You know, he almost died. I mean, that should just tell you something. People from outside looking in, they're not believers, saying, when Phil walked away from the Lord, he almost died. I don't want to be that. I want to be the one of honor. Where Abraham, he believed God. Samson, he believed God. David, he believed God. Look, it worked. Look how it worked in his life. And not just for his life, for the life of others. I mean, let's face it. I mean, Abraham, I was just talking about Morton. He didn't hold nothing back from the Lord. Didn't hold his own son, which was the promise was through, but he believed God. What did he get? We all get Jesus because of that. We get all Jesus. I mean, so if we trade that, which is just nasty and gnarled and trying to be Lord of our own life, for His Lordship and His life, we get far better. And not just in this world. I mean, sometimes it might...
In a real practical sense, it didn't work out all that well for you when you were doing it.
No, it didn't. It didn't. But I mean, even with Jeremiah, here on this earth, it wasn't good. The fruit of the ministry was to everybody else. But you know, when he was done, he got to go be with the Lord for the rest of his life. That's just, we can just see the blessing in the now and the presence in this life. We're talking about life to come. The one that we abide in, we should be abiding in faith now.
If you don't do it now, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Your life to come is going to be that of eternal hellfire and damnation.
That's the other training, and it's perhaps not necessarily boot camp, but the other training is to be able to not just inhabit there in faith now, but to be able to stand there in reality then. Because all the angels Lucifer himself had free will when they were in heaven.
Yeah.
So it's still going to be about what you choose to do. Only this time, there's nothing to bail you out.
We got some practice. We need to be grateful for every single day we have.
Yeah.
You're talking about being grateful this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Being content with where you're at. And that's a choice. It's another one of those things. You cast down the uncontentment and discontent. I don't even know what the word would be. But the ungratefulness of where you're at. You cast that down because you're looking at your carnal mind, seeing what you don't have. Mm-hmm. Instead of all the things that you do, the Lord's provided you with. I don't even mean material things, just another day.
That's the opposite of what James did. James put the best possible spin on a bad situation, and that's putting the worst possible spin on a not so bad situation. It's just you're not entertained or pleased as quite as much as you used to be. So, you know, the whole focus has changed. It's about not about being focused on him anymore, it's about being focused on yourself. And it's not his job to please you. It's your job to please him.
I mean, it's his agenda.
So wherever you find yourself, how can you please him from that place where you are?
You believe him.
Mm-hmm.
And you cast out your own agenda. I mean, that's the only thing. You know, I was talking about holding on to that thing. I mean, you take Abraham for a second. He could have just not withheld his son from the Lord. And that wouldn't have benefited him any good at all. And I'm talking about, we hang on to our... We don't want to be that one where we do hang on with hope from the Lord. Those things that we think are dear, those things that we think our own agenda is really what it is, we think are so dear. No, man, let that go. I'm sure glad Jesus didn't do that. But he has so much better for you than that which you think, yeah, man, that old agenda, man, that's good stuff. No, it ain't. Sucks.
That Philippians 4 is the abridged version of Paul's. It's the short version, edited version of Paul's experience. The longer version is 2 Corinthians 11.
Yeah.
And they got the longer version because of their rebellion as a body. They had some real screwed up situations going on there. And, you know, Paul setting them up, said, look here, I'm fixing to come to you again. And when I come, it's going to stink to be you if you don't get some of this stuff right. And the Philippians didn't quite get that treatment. So they might not have been perfect either, but they were in a better place than certainly the Corinthians were.
And in
but I reference that so if somebody wants to go back and look at the longer version of that, you can actually go back and see what it was that he had resolved to be in content in whatever condition he was in. That was quite a decision, quite a determination on his part, and one that he clearly made as he went from one situation to the next situation, said, oh boy, this is going to be fun to see how God manifests himself here. Because it's definitely...
Hey,
he went from the frying pan into the fire every time he turned around. Yeah,
and that's how Jesus walked. He was content with wherever he was because he wanted to do the will of the Father.
Yep.
And that was his choice, and that's what he did. And just like that, each and every one of us...
Son of man has nowhere to lay his head.
And it didn't matter where he was at because it was wherever God the Father decided for him to be and go, that's where he went. He was,
and whatever he was supposed to do while he was there, he did. And that's available for each and every one of us.
It is.
And you just got to... I mean, far too often we see that flesh. That's the short sight. We have to look beyond that, past that garbage, you know, past that dead man, and see the goal, the Lord, and strive to be there. Do that which he would have you do, right where you are.
And you can do that. You can do that because he is able and what he has done and what he can do. And that's why you can do that. And it, so many times we look at it like, how can I do this with, I'm a piece of crap, man. You know, how can I do this? It's never based on what you could do. And that's why you can do that.
And he is worthy of your trust. And he's faithful. He's absolutely faithful.
Sound like you wanted to come on there, James?
I was going to say, it's about your perspective. And if you're looking at things, you know, like Scott said about Corrie ten Boom, through your eyes and the situation around you, your perspective's wrong. You need to look at it that the Lord's given you an opportunity. No matter where you are, or what it looks like around you, that it's an opportunity to manifest his love.
And that was an important thing for each of us to learn. And it was important for Corrie ten Boom to learn. Because her sister was, you know, quote-unquote, the faithful one. And Corrie was kind of, she wasn't all in with Jesus. And that was part of her training. And after her release and everything, I mean, she had a mighty ministry in the Lord.
You know, did the sister die in there?
Yeah.
Wait, and see, that's the amazing thing.
The faithful one was the one that died, and then Corrie was the one that was wavering in the beginning, but built a powerful faith.
And you're
she lived.
Talking about sowing in faith. Okay, because she didn't see the fruit of the ministry to her sister and what her sister's ministry was going to be to others.
Right.
She didn't see that. She died before all that. Kind of like Jeremiah. Right. She sowed that in faith.
Right, but she was sharing the gospel to, you know, the Jews, all the prisoners, even the guards, you know, right there in the midst of probably one, if not the worst, but one of the worst situations in, you know, the 20th century or human history. I mean, it was horrific.
And so it's amazing. It's amazing. Just that obedience. You don't know.
And the darkest part of history is the manifestation of God's commitment to honor His word when people receive it.
Yeah. Believe it.
And believe it.
And that's the thing, what she did. She believed God in that prison, the darkest part. She believed God. She believed God for her sister. Mm-hmm. She believed God for
those around her.
She just believed. Man, what if we just choose to believe, man?
Yeah, probably most of them didn't leave that prison.
Right.
What's that?
Most of them probably didn't leave that prison.
Most of them probably got executed pretty quick. It was a miracle that Corey got out. But
so
the ministry of that gospel was an immediate concern for those people who had a chance to either receive it or reject it. It was an immediate issue.
So you stumble, you fall, choose to believe God.
Yep.
Didn't stumble, you fall, you choose to believe God, and believe God more. Believe God.
That's what it all comes down to. Believe God.
How the gospel comes. Even though it don't look like coming. Look at Noah. Believe God. Well, him and his house were saved, but Earth repopulated again. But I bet you in the midst of that, with the carnal mind sure was trying to plague him some bit. Mm-hmm. Didn't let him deter him, praise God. We need to believe God that same way.
Scott is definitely in agreement with the testimony of the flesh is stinking. not a good thing.
Is that over in the chat?
Well, that is true. It's just always one of those pleasant things to consider that is that God's first command was to replenish the earth. So it's not like his first command was like, go over this side over here and go kill everything that's over there. It wasn't one of those destruction things. It was more of enjoy yourself and obey me and enjoy yourself doing it. So, kind of a neat thing.
Well, you see the loving, the long suffering of the Lord in the midst of replenishing the earth. I mean, man, what's that saying? That's a bunch of BS. It goes, you hit me once, shame on you. You hit me twice, you know.
Shame
on me, you know. Yes, I mean, Lord's long suffering. Create man. Didn't think he had to create death. If he thought he had to create death, he would have done it in the beginning. But he didn't think he had to. Well, Satan fell. There was a rise up. No. Had to create death. There's
long-suffering? It's long-suffering.
Should you just take a look at our lives? Or me, I can look and say, long-suffering, hey, long-suffering. But I can look through the scriptures. Long-suffering is 11:5.
You don't want to waste that opportunity that we have, though. You don't want to waste it. We don't want to waste that opportunity we have. The every day that we have.
All that training have
that
right
we
now.
Have. That right now. That training that we constantly got before us. Mm-hmm. Don't want to take that long suffering for granted.
I know I've both experienced and seen it develop in situations where, I've been dealing with somebody and I've just, I've had it up to here. And I just don't see any way out. You know, I said, Lord, help. And I go, it goes over me. And I'm constantly, and I don't know why, surprised when, because for some reason, I expected there to be a hammer brought down and there was more grace and mercy extended. Because that's what the Lord is about. And in the scramble of what all was going on, I lost track of that fact.
Got caught up in the circumstance.
Yeah. And
is there some of it when you had it up to here was actually you were just wrong about 50% of it?
The circumstance was up to here, but he had to rise above the circumstance. See?
Well, you get...
I mean, because sometimes when I've added up to here with people I know, just really, so frankly, that can be completely wrong about the whole thing. The person that's wrong that I think it or are wrong, I'm wrong.
Well, I'll tell you right up front that because I lost track of the fact that there was yet grace and mercy to extend. And I quit doing that. So I was wrong. I believed that we'd really come to a place where it's time to do something about what was going on. But I was wrong. So,
and,
that's why you talk to people over you.
You know, sometimes what I mean also, when I was kind of coming from that, just to put a little, a different view on that, because we all can have it up to here, but sometimes we're at it up to here, and we're actually the wrong one in the situation altogether.
Yep.
And it's our perspective that's just off. And what I mean by, it's not because, like the whole thing was that person wasn't arrows. That was an arrow.
Right.
You know, really looking into it. Find out the truth of this situation.
Get you out of the situation and let Jesus be in the situation.
Amen.
That is correct, Sue.
What'd Sue say?
She said you'd come to a place to do something about it. And you did something about it, essentially. You took it, you take it to your authority. But it wasn't what you expected to be the thing that you were needing to do. You know, you were expecting the hammer to come down, and instead you got yet more grace and mercy to be extended. It's just sometimes you just don't know. That's why you take it to the big picture guy.
Amen.
That's what that's for.
Absolutely.
And it's not about you being wrong. It's being about you learning to trust the way the Lord works.
Mm-hmm.
Simple.
It's about you learning how to share Jesus with that person and keeping yourself out of it.
Right.
Is what it comes down to.
And sometimes it's you just being wrong.
Yeah.
in the sense of you were wrong about the whole thing. Your whole perspective was that wasn't
God.
The truth. Yeah, that
praise God.
The,
now you can get it right.
Right, yeah. the whole what I thought was going on wasn't. I was absolutely wrong. You ever? I don't know. I've corrected my kids that I thought they were in error about something. The truth of the matter is, they weren't. Something completely different was coming. My bad. I remember Ricky preaching a sermon one time. He's like, she turned around, there's milk all over the floor, gave Naomi, she was real young, gave Naomi a sippy cup, and she's drinking it, and he thinks she's just taking it and dumping it all over the floor, being a brat. He's like, what are you doing spilling it? He's getting all over. Come to find out, he didn't screw the lid on tight enough. It was crooked.
Mm.
And she was just drinking it like she would be. She's, what, 2, 1.5?
Yeah.
And it was falling all over the place. She didn't have a clue. She was ignorant of it. That's what I mean. You can have it up to here for somebody and be completely off.
Yeah.
Or it's actually the thing that you, the thing that you could just be, could be completely off, or the thing that's actually a correction for you that you don't like here.
Well, gentlemen, we only have a couple of minutes left, so let's put a bow on this one. Stick a fork in it. And call it a day. It's been interesting. It's been fun. Say goodbye, guys.
Goodbye, guys.
Goodbye, guys.
Goodbye, guys.
Ah, they got it right. Oh, thank you for joining us this week on the Hour of Truth. I hope you enjoyed it and it blessed you. We have the Texas service coming up in just a couple of minutes, and Arizona after that. So y'all stay tuned right here to the Fishman Ministry on the Eagle Radio Network.